If you're interested in the history of this area, of the settlers who farmed here long before the tourist dollar was even thought of, then a good read is Follow That Bell, written by local bloke Bill Ipson and available in Augusta at the newsagents. Focusing on the exploits and adventures of Bill and his fellow stockmen, Follow That Bell recounts the journey of droving hundreds of cattle across untamed countryside. That was before the four-wheel drive replaced the horse. In his book, Bill shares his campfire and tells us tales of the Southwest as it was. Here's a taste from the man himself.
Well, the first time we ever crossed the Yigurup Dunes, we took a ran across it on horses before. We weren't the first people by any means to cross the Yigurup Dunes on horses. The Brockmans and the Youngs and the Scotts and the Dixons had been doing it for years, probably 100 years before we did it. But the first time we went across there, it was pretty frightening, the dead trees and the odd rotten limb underneath the ground and that. But once we got used to it, it wasn't too bad. The horses would go down to their knees in the sand and that. So there was only native vegetation to live off in those days for the stock. And it was like changing their paddocks. You go to the south coast to get a variety of diet and come back into the inland country where you get a different variety of diet. And with very little clearing and no fertilisers and no trace elements, they had to sort of shift their stock around a fair bit so they survived. Especially in the Carry country, they'd die in the Carry country, although it looked better than the inland country, or better than the south coast, but Carry country was no good at all. And it was a method adopted by most of the early settlers that came either prior to the turn of the century or not long after. Future generations carried right up until 1988, were the last cattle ever to go to the coast, to my knowledge. Here we've got three different bells. Each one has a different tone. The idea of the different tone is when you're mustering cattle in the bush and you hear bells, it's good to hear the... I'm tone deaf, but I can tell there's different noises coming out of the bush, and I can pick up an idea that there's three different bells in the mob, or five, or one, or whatever it is, and it gives you an idea what you're looking for.
Bill Ipson crossed the Yigurup Dunes many a time. In fact, he was there with good mate Don Steen when the very first vehicle made it across, carrying with them supplies to build a hut and some yarn.
So anyway, we eventually got confident and took a vehicle across there by letting the tyres well down and having the crawler as a backup. That was the first vehicle that was ever taken across the sand, Pat Alexander, Don Steen and myself. Once we got to the spot where the hut and yards were to be built, Don got on the little dozer and I got on the horse, and we mapped a track from what Lou Scott had told us where to go. Out through the hills and eventually onto the sand dunes above the beach at the Warren or Yigurup Beach. And now that track is the Yigurup Dunes track, and it's one of the biggest tourist attractions in Pemberton, probably in the southwest.
Bill's right. The Yigurup Dunes are these days a major tourist attraction. But although they're visited by thousands, every care is being taken to protect and maintain the natural ecosystem. The appeal of Yigurup and much of the scenic Pemberton area is nature. It's what they call their natural advantage. From Yigurup's ever-encroaching sand dunes to the towering Carry forest the region is famous for. Steep river valleys cloaked in early morning mist, spectacular limestone cliffs and secluded, pristine white beaches. Pemberton is a place where visitors have every opportunity to be touched by nature. The deep red loams and high rainfall give rise to Western Australia's tallest, most majestic forest. The tiny town site is surrounded by three national parks, the Gloucester, Warren and Beedlup. Close by, there's also the Don Tricasso and Shannon National Parks. each park has its own unique features. In the 1930s, a series of fire lookout platforms were constructed at the very tops of the tallest carry trees. Nowadays, if you're feeling athletic, you can climb some of these lookout trees to take in the legendary views. At 61 metres, the Gloucester tree is the tallest climbing tree in the world, and it's only 3 kilometres from Pemberton. During spring, the wildflowers and orchids in the Carey forests are spectacular. The best time is generally from September to mid-November. Nestled within the forest, there are many sparkling streams, brooks and rivers. Big Brook Dam is only minutes from Pemberton, and there's barbecues and picnic tables with great swimming, fishing and canoeing. There's also the Cascades, Moon's Crossing and the River Road Bridge, while the Beedlup Falls is a favourite winter photo spot beside the thundering waterfall. Trout, perch and marron can all be found in Pemberton's rivers and streams. There are seasonal and size restrictions and licence requirements, so if you're interested, call into the visitor centre to find out how and where to fish for the future in the Pemberton region. In fact, we recommend a stop at the visitor centre in the heart of Pemberton as soon as you arrive. Paul and his team have information on all the places I've mentioned and many more. There's souvenirs and gifts, a pioneer museum and Carey Forest Discovery Centre. Plus, at the Pemberton Tourist Centre, you can pick up a detailed map and guide to the area. The maps are free, and if you want it, they come with some great local advice.